And I just want to share with you this real quick before we even get into that. As you're turning to Psalm 37, I was asking God as I was down in my office down below, and I was asking him for a word. And I looked at my phone, and there was a text from my daughter. She said, man, Lord, says, good luck with the service today, Dad. You're going to do great. And it says, Jeremiah 3:15. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. That was the word that God gave me. Man, let's pray. Father, man, I'm overcome with emotion right now. Just ask you to help me, Lord. Help me get out of the way, please, Lord. I've been asking you that all morning long. Please, Lord. Your love is just so... Yes, it is amazing love. Overwhelming, Lord, at times. And it's hard to handle, Lord, when you feel that your love so much and you don't deserve it. It just overwhelms you. So, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to your sons and daughters out here today, Lord. There may be some, Lord, that don't know you in that way. They can't call you Daddy. Lord, I pray that today they would come to know you in that way, Lord. I pray for those, Lord, that are here that maybe you've been walking astray. Maybe you haven't been in this love relationship with God in the way that he wants to love you. Well, today, that you would rest in that God loves you and that he desires to get to know you in an intimate way. So, Lord, please, Lord, speak to us, Lord, through your word. Have your way here this morning, Lord. Thank you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want to say, you know, some of you know me, some of you don't, but I've been coming here many years and serving the Lord in different capacities. And well, prior to even being on staff here at one point in time, I worked as a firefighter for 34 years. And so, you know, I know what it's like to pull up on a full working fire, and the reports are that there's people trapped, and my heart's racing, and I'm calling on God, and I'm saying, God, help me to make right decisions this morning. Help me, Lord Father. And so you have to calm, he has to calm me down, because when you're over excited or anxious, then you don't always make the best decisions. So I'm asking God to do that here this morning too. Amen. So the title of this message is, I Am is on the throne. I Am is God's eternal name. That's his given name. I Am. Jehovah. He's the ever-existing God. And he's on the throne. He's in heaven, but he's watching us. He's watching over us. He loves us, man. He looks down and he's just smiling from ear to ear. I don't know if you guys have children or grandchildren and that, and you see him and you see him doing things that just give you great joy. Well, that's the way he looks at you. So he's looking at you that way this morning. Well, the topic this morning is not one that's comfortable to talk about. David, when he was faced with his enemies coming after him and the evil that was going on in his day, he wasn't in a comfortable life. he was in a state where he was running many times from Saul, the king at the time. And so life was difficult for him. You know, this morning, God has given me a goal, and the goal God has given me this morning is to encourage you by the word of God. That when you walk out of here this morning, that you'll know that you're empowered to do the work of God by the power of the Holy Spirit working within you. That's the goal. It doesn't seem like that's too hard, but God's word can do that. I can't do that. Only God could do that. But let's face it, you know, right now, this day and age that we live in, it's a difficult time. It's a troubled time, a troubled time. Many would say we're living in the last days, a time not unlike the days of Noah, where every intent of man's thoughts were only evil at all times. That's the way that's described, the days of Noah. Looking at the troubles that we're faced with today, we've never faced in the history of this world a total lockdown of the whole world because of a virus. Never have we faced that before. How about churches being closed down all around the world because of the same virus? People being told not to go to service, which is directly opposite of what God has told us. Do not forsake the gathering together of the saints, and all the more as you see the day approaching. But encourage one another and build one another up. He tells us directly the opposite. But we are being told not to. Told not to sing, not to worship. You know, what's the next step? Don't use the name of Jesus. I have a prayer partner. He was a chaplain for the city of San Diego, and he was approached by the chief of the fire department and told him, don't use the name of Jesus. You could do everything else, but just don't use the name of Jesus. He said, I'll give you some time to think about it if you want to continue to be a chaplain. And he said, I don't need any time to think about it. There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Okay? That's where rubber meets the road, and that's where we're at right now in these troubled times. Where were we? We really, do we believe what we believe? And do we even know what we believe and why we believe? You know? So there's a lot of things. I mean, you guys that are parents, I mean, my children are grown, and now they're all married. There's only three, but they're starting to raise their families. But they're being told that they don't know how to raise children. They're being told in the school, even as young as the fourth grade, hey, you could be a boy, you could be a girl, you could whatever you want to be. You want to change what you are from a transsexual or whatever, you know, being taught that within the school. Second grade, there's a teacher back there. Correct? Second grade. I mean, what does God's word say? God's word says, I made them male and female. That's it. That's it. We live in a fallen world where we have feelings and desires and things like that. But that's called sin, nature. And so if I have a desire for another man, that's a sin nature act I choose to do. And so, but we're being told, no. This is natural, and this is right, and so we're going to glorify it, and we're going to lift it up. We live in a time right now where they're saying, you know, hey, children and babies that are in the womb, they're not important. They're just a blob of gobbledygook, I guess. You know, they're not a person. My daughter's just about 6 months along in her pregnancy. That baby is kicking her here and there and everything. I said, that's a baby. That's a person that God created, that God knew before the beginning of time. And yet they're advocating it and making money off of filthy lucre off of this. It's I don't even want to get into the details of what they're doing. When you see what they're doing, you hear what they're doing, it just makes you sick. It makes you sick, man. And I hate to start out this message this way, but we have to see where we're at and what we're faced with, as David was troubled too, and what he was faced with, and he was down and he was struggling. And so he God had a message for him at that time. God looked at him and talked to him, and he said he had to speak to him because of the troubles that David was faced with. But God didn't just speak to David. God was speaking to David so David would write it down so God could speak to us today. And it comes from the Word of God. So when you get that Word of God, mine's sitting over there and it's too big, takes up too much room up here, but I have it sitting over there. But when you take that Bible and you just toss it out, you can do whatever you want. Whatever man's intents, like it says, man's intents, hearts were evil all the time. So you choose whatever you want to do, whatever feels good to you. That's where we're at, right? But it's not only where we're at. It used to be that, if he chooses to do that, that's okay. Now it's being pushed on us. Pushed. Mandates, you have to have this experimental drug, or you lose your job and your career. When has that ever happened before? Never. We're faced with troubled times. Troubled times. We need help, don't we? We need help from the helper. We need help from God. And David needed help from God. He needed help. So we're not unlike David. David was a man, and when you read about David, the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart. Doesn't that sound great? He was a man after God's own heart, man. He was after God's own heart. But when you read the story about David, God doesn't hide what David's life was about. David was a man like us. I'm a man that's fallible, a man that thinks thoughts. I don't even know why I'm up here, because I know who I am. But that's how David felt too. David knew who he was and what he had done and how he had failed God. He had done that. But David also knew what the solution to that was. This flesh that we live in, these minds that have to be transformed. David knew that, hey, I need to fall on my face and I need to ask God to forgive me. And I need to turn to him for my help. David knew that. That's why God could say that. He is a man after my own heart. He repented of his sin and he turned. He went from this way and he went the other way. Yeah, did he fall again? Yes, he did. And do you fall again? Yes, you do. And so do I. But God, that's why God had to speak to David in Psalm 37 and encourage David. And that's why God is speaking to us, going to speak to us through Psalm 37 to encourage us this morning. Amen? Amen? God is just, I just want him to take over, so I don't even know where I'm at in my notes right now, because it's up to him. I'll tell you this. In Psalm 37, David gives us God gives us a game plan. Right now, I'm an avid basketball fan for college. Pros, no. But college, I love. Played basketball all my life. Competed. Love it. And there's game plans that you have in football, baseball. It's just game plans. Well, God gave David a game plan. And he gave him this game plan to follow for success. So David would have success in living his life for him. And so let's look at this game plan. Now remember, whenever God gives you a plan for your life, whenever he has a plan for your life, the enemy has a plan too. The enemy's straight out in his plan for your life. His plan for your life is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his plan. He don't hide it. Steal, kill, destroy. That's what he wants to do. And he'll choose whatever ways he is. He knows where you're weak at. He knew where David was weak at. He knows where you're weak. And he's gonna do what he's going to do so that you don't do what God wants you to do. Because in this dark world that we live in right now, on evil, like we were just discussing, There needs to be a light that shines bright. Jesus said that we're the light. And we're to shine bright in this darkness, brighter than ever before. And so in Psalm 37, he gives us this game plan. Let's look at Psalm 37, and I'm going to read it to you first, and then we're going to go back and look at each verse. So Psalm 37. Now let's just go step by step. Psalm 37, verse 1 says this: Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Fret not thyself against evildoers, neither be thou envious against workers of iniquity. Fret, the word fret means don't be angry and don't be frustrated. So in this game plan God's given us, he says he doesn't want us to be walking around angry and in frustration. Now, when I look at what's going on today, I tell you what, I'm angry and I get frustrated. I see it. I mean, I've said some things to the men in our men's fellowship, the conference of these guys, and they're looking at me like, what? Because, I mean, things come to my mind. I mean, evil comes to my mind. But the good has to take that evil and put it where it needs to be. So God's telling us, don't fret. Don't fret thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. When you see them and it seems like they're just getting away with it, right? They're lying straight out with a straight face. They're doing things over here and saying they're doing this over here. And you're just going, man, they're getting away with it, God. But God says, no, they're not getting away with it. I see it, and I can handle it, God says. I see it, and I can handle it. There's nothing too big for me, and there's nothing too small for me. But guess what? You, Bobby DeHara, you can't. You need to get out of the way. I don't want you walking around frustrated and angry. That does not show the love of God, this frustration and anger. Now, he goes on, he says, in these verses, God's telling us, don't be in constant mental state of anger or frustration because there seems to be no consequences of evildoers, nor be envious because of evildoers seem to be on easy street while you're fighting to live a life of righteousness every day. Don't do that. Why? Because here's their end. You don't want what's coming their way. The next verse, Psalm 37:2 says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You know, we in San Diego know that as soon as winter's gone and spring, man, everything burns, right? It gets and it goes down, it's gone. And so that's what's going to happen to them. God's reminding David, hey, don't worry about them. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. Don't worry about them. He's saying that. Hebrews 9:27 says this, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment. It's happening. All of us are going to face judgment. We just don't know when. You see, true life is living in the presence of God, both now and forevermore. That's eternal life. When Christ came into your life, when the Holy Spirit came into your life, you're now born again. Born of the Spirit of God. And so you live eternally. But a person that's not born again, they live eternally, but in a different location. And that's called hell. Jesus spoke about hell more than he spoke about heaven. And so that's the reality. So why should we worry about what they look like they're getting away with and what they're doing and all this stuff? Why should we walk around frustrated and angry? Okay? Now we're going to get to the point to where God's going to tell us how we address evil as we go through the study. Whether non-followers of Christ believe it or not, the Bible tells us that the man is made in God's image, body, soul, and spirit. They would like to believe that once they die, they would just cease to exist, which is not true. God made man in his image. We are eternal beings. See, you know why they want to just think that, you know, and once I die, I just cease to exist? It's because then they don't have no consequences for their sin. But God made us eternal beings. And so there are consequences for our sins. And that's why he had to send his only son to die for our sins, because he knew we couldn't do it. We could never be holy enough, righteous enough, never do it. That's why he had the Old Testament, the Old Testament saints. They could never fulfill. And then Jesus had to come. Amen. The Bible says this regarding followers of Christ. When they die, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. This is eternal life, man. Praise God. Amen. We should be the happiest people on this earth. Amen. My only problem is that, Lord, I want to go. Yeah. I mean, I want to go. I tell my wife all the time, hey, you know, I'm trying to get my house in order because I want to be ready to go. And I don't want to leave her having a load of stuff that she has to handle. So I'll try to get my house in order. She said, well, why do you want to go? I said, because I want to be with my Lord. I want to be with my Savior, you know. He's the one. He loves me so much. I know that. But I say that, but I don't want to leave her. But it really is. There's a love relationship we have with the Lord. Amen. Followers of Christ are to be comforted in this knowledge of truth. Man can kill our bodies, but they can't destroy our souls. Followers of Christ have eternal life. We are not to walk around frustrated and angry over evildoers. God tells us they're going to get their reward, their just reward. It's up to God to take care of it. It's not to us to focus on. He has other things for us to do. We need to be focusing on the things he has for us to be focusing on. We're God's representatives on this earth, charged with bringing a future and a hope to those that have no future and a hope. In Jeremiah, he talks about that, that we're here. He gives us a plan. He said, for we're to have a future and a hope. And so here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I want to go over this. This is what he wants us to focus on. If you've read that before, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he tells us that we are to focus on, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is what he tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. So our focus has to be on God, on the good that God has for us to do, not on the evil we see around us. As followers of Christ, we don't ignore the things of evil because God hates evil. You know that? In Proverbs 6, he talks about he hates evil. So the things that are getting us frustrated and angry, he hates. He hates. And then he tells us in Proverbs 8, he says, we are to hate evil as well. We're to hate it. We're not to just blindly look away from it. So, but we're not to focus on it. We're to hate it too. We're the light. We're the ones that are to stand up against the evil. To stand up against the evil. We're his representatives. The Bible is clear that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against evil forces of darkness in Ephesians chapter 6. That's what we're wrestling against. So that man that's saying the things and lying straight out, that's not who we're wrestling against. We're wrestling against the spirit that is leading that person to lie. Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. That's who's behind this. We're not going to be like him. We're not going to act like him. In the next six verses, God outlines the specific things that we are to do. And in response to our actions, he tells us what he promises to do. Okay, so as we go through these next verses, he tells us the things that we're to do and what he's going to do. This is his game plan for us. So verse 3, Psalm 37, verse 3. He says this, trust in Jehovah, do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. First is, trust in who? Trust in Jehovah, the I am. The ever-existing God, the creator of all the universe, that's who we're trusting in. Is there anybody greater than him? There's nobody. Even though we don't see him, we see the evidence of him. We know what he's done in our life. He's transformed our life. He's at work. And he's never going to stop working. Never going to stop. So we're to trust in him. The word trust means be confident in him. Be sure in him. Now, does it talk about sure in you? Or confident in you? No. Because we're fallible beings, man. David was a fallible being. He had to, and God was telling him, trust in Jehovah. Trust in Jehovah and do good. When the world is doing evil, when the world is lying to you and saying one thing and doing another thing, or giving instruction is straight out from the pit of hell, are we to fight in that same way? No, God's telling us, you do good. You do good. There's so much good that we have done as a nation in this world. When there's tsunamis in uttermost parts of this world, what nation goes forward and provides funds and resources and help? This nation. The people of God in this nation. And so God's telling us, when it gets dark, we get bright. When they do evil, we do good. So we don't stop doing what God tells us to do. We do it even all the more. And guess what it does to them? It gets them mad. They get angry. They're trying to stop us. So what if they came about and they said, okay, no more tax deduction for your donations to the church? Which they're going to do eventually. Yeah, we're going to get more. We're going to show them the no. We're going to do what God says to do, not what you say to do. We're going to do good. Amen? So he says, in Psalm 20, verse 6, he says this, now know I that Jehovah saveth his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. You see, God's there. He sees. He knows. His hand is strong. He can do it. But he doesn't say, trust in you, trust in me. Because I'm the one that wants to do it. Just let me do what I want to do. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will make mention of the name of Jehovah our God. That's where our trust is to be. Back then, horses and chariots were big things. They were used in war, and they had impact in the battles. But we have a greater impact because we trust in Jehovah. Hallelujah. We trust in God. Yahweh, Jehovah, the proper name for the one true God, the self-existent one, the great I am. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the great I am. He always has been. He forever will be. He is all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, all-loving. What is impossible for him?
Nothing.
Nothing. All of his love and power, which is called grace, dwells within us. Dwells within us by the way of his Holy Spirit. This God that I just described dwells within you. Within you. You are the light of the world. You are his hands and feet. This is who we put our trust in. Psalm 37, verse 3. I'm going to read it again. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Okay, he says dwell in the land. There are many that are prepared right now to skedaddle. I'm getting out of here. I'm going up to the hills. I'm going to build me a nice little compound. I'm going to have my food. I'm going to have my rations. I'm going to have my weapons. And I'm out of here. This place is going to hell. That's not what God tells us to do. He says, dwell in the land. He tells us, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Because are you always faithful? No, I'm not always faithful. But he's always faithful. So he says, feed on his faithfulness. You're trusting in him. It's him that we need in us. It's his power, his strength that we need functioning in our life. Don't go running off in the hills and hide out. Feed on his faithfulness. God is faithful even when we lack faith. Psalm 37, 4. He says this, delight thyself also in Jehovah, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight thyself also in Jehovah, and he will give you the desires of the heart. So this game plan is saying, you need to delight in God. Now, what does that mean? This word delight says, be soft. You, be soft and pliable. That sounds like something that's rigid and hard, and I'm not going to do what you say, God. No, soft and pliable. In this relationship, this love relationship you have, he wants to be soft and pliable. He wants to use you. He wants to pour into you. And then that's what he does. That's why he says this. And he will give thee the desires of the heart. He's pouring into you his desires. The desires he has for you, he's pouring into you. And now you go, man, like my wife told me, I want to go and I'm going to sign up to just go into the, I guess you would call it an anti-abortion clinic, and a place where they try to help people that are trying to make decisions. And so she just wants to go in and file paperwork and stuff for them to help them. You know, God put that desire in her heart. She's had that desire. And you guys, you have desires that God has put in your heart. I love it that the gifts and abilities and talents that we have within this body are being used. And if they're not being used, they need to be used. Because we're not a whole body without the body functioning. So that's what God is saying here. I have desires I want to pour into you. He'll put his desires within your heart as you become one with him. Jesus talked about us becoming one with the Father as he was one with his Father. So as you get this, you have this loving relationship with God, he pours his desires in you. And now you're doing the things that he asked for you to do. We don't have to figure it all out. He's got to figure it out. I love that. That was one of the greatest things when I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior of my life. Prior to me coming to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was trying to figure it all out. I was 25 years old, and I'm still trying to figure it all out. I want this, that, whatever. And I'm trying to figure it all out. And then when Christ came into my life, I realized, you know what? He has it figured out. I'm just going to trust in him. And he'll take care of these things. And he does. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto Jehovah. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto Jehovah. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. When he says commit, he's talking about us just rolling with him. Just rolling with him. We're saying, you know, God, what you have for me, I'm rolling with you. I'm going with you. We're just rolling with him. We're trusting also in him. He'll bring it to pass. Trust, when you surrendered your life to Christ, listen to those words. When you surrendered your life to Christ, your life is no longer your own. Right? When you gave it to him, said, God, do with me as you will. Really, it's not your decisions anymore. It's his decisions. And so he's saying, you know, that's where we're at. We're to trust him with our whole life. We offer our whole body, our whole being to him. And then he's faithful. He's going to do with it as he wills. He's going to do good things with our life. He says we're his poema. He loves us. He's working on us, making us like his son, Jesus Christ. We could trust him in that. Psalm 37:6, and he will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. And he will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. When you go out and it's a noonday sun, is it bright? When it's a nice sunny day here in San Diego, I mean, it is bright. And sometimes even in the morning, early morning sunrise, it's shining in. I got in an accident one time when I was still a driver, and the sun was so bright that somebody had put the apparatus door up, not all the way up, but partially up. And nobody on the crew even saw that it was partially up. And everybody walked by the door. But the sun was so bright, and it was shining in. The door faced the east, and so when I went down there, I didn't see it either. The sun was so bright, And that's how God wants us to be. So bright that we're going, they're going like this. Because our light is just shining. That's what he says. This is his game plan for us. That we're to be light like the noonday sun. Now, frustrated and angry is not showing the light. It's the love of God that shows the light. Now, I know, you know, I'm one that I personally hate the masks of that, or I hate wearing them that. But I did it. I wore it when I had to because I didn't want to get angry and fights and people and stuff like that. You can't come in here and all stuff. I just did it to do it so that I could be a light. You know, I don't think it has any benefit, but that's me personally. But I felt like to be a light, I needed to be a light. I don't want to fight with people. So, you know, we're going to do what you're going to do to represent Christ. He's gentle and he's lowly, meek, you know. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in Jehovah and wait patiently for him. Rest in Jehovah and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You see the order here? That when we're resting and we're waiting on God, then we don't have to fret. When we're resting and waiting on God, we don't have to be in frustration and anger and that. Even when we see them prospering and it seems that there's wicked ways, there's no consequence to it. That's not ours. That's God's to handle. He's telling us, focus where I want you to focus. Be who I want you to be. Yes, stand against evil, because I hate evil. You're to hate evil. But I don't want you walking around and doing evil in response to what they're doing. Psalm 37, verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself. It tendeth only to evil doing. So he repeats it again. Fret not thyself. Fret not thyself. Tendeth means that we tend to do it too. We tend toward doing evil ourselves when we are in frustration and anger over what we're seeing and what's being done. Because others are doing evil, we should not combat evil with evil. No, that's not God's way. Therefore, it's not our way. And the following verses 32, there's 32 verses from this point on to the conclusion of Psalm 37. Verses all the way to the end, I want you guys to do a homework assignment. And the reason for this homework assignment is this. What he does in these following verses is he does this. He says this. God emphasizes to us how he's going to bless and protect us in these verses. He emphasizes to us how he's going to bless and how he's going to protect us. That's why these verses are important. And he also emphasizes what the evil is going to try to do to us, what their intentions are, and also what his intentions are for them. So he's acknowledging, I know what they're going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. And I know what I want you to do, and here's what I'm going to do for you. And he does it over and over and over and over and over and over again. 32 verses. He pounds us and pounds us and pounds us. Why? Because we're hard-headed. He's trying to get it into our heads. You know, it's the mind that he's renewing, right? Transforming our minds to Christ-likeness. And he's trying to pound this into our head. Look it. Yeah, I know. Here's what the evil are going to do. But here's what I'm going to do to them. Hey, and this is what I want you to do. And this is what I'm going to do for you. And when you're there, when you see all the things that he has us in control, and you see he's got it, he knows what's going on. He's got it. He knows what's going on. He's got it. He knows what's going on. When you see that, you can rest. And you can wait on him to get his orders as to what he has for you to do and what he has for you to focus on. Because he's got it. He's got it. He's got this. Yeah, it looks ugly. This morning, the rain was coming down hard, wasn't it? The rain was coming down hard. It was coming down hard. And the Lord kind of woke me up, and I was thinking, it's like right now, if the rain represented the evil that's pouring down on us, and you're outside, you got no raincoat, you got no umbrella, and you're standing outside in that rain that was coming down, and it's just pouring down, and this is evil, representing evil. It's just pouring on you. It's soaking you. And you're going, man, Lord, I need help. I'm being soaked with this evil right now. Lord, I need help. Well, then, you know what? When you call on him, he will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. And he can give you an umbrella to protect you from the rain. Give you a raincoat. And he can stop the rain because he is in control of everything. He can do that. He can do that. So, but we have to trust in him and wait on him and allow him to do it. We have to have this relationship with delighting in him in order for us to be able to rest in him and wait on him. There has to be this love relationship we have going on. If you're not in a love relationship with him, you're going to try to fight. You're going to try to do whatever you got to do to try to protect yourself and keep this rain from pumping down on your head. And it's all on you. Well, I tell you what, he's greater than us, man. He created all this whole world. He made it, and he's holding it all together. You can't count the number of stars in the heaven. Man is still figuring out how many galaxies and how far away that is. I mean, we'll never know. Who knows the ways of God, man? They're above our ways, his thoughts above our ways. He's incredible. But we could trust in him. We don't have to fully know him and understand him. We never will. But we could trust him because we already know that he's impacted our lives. We already know it. We're not the same people that we were before Christ came into our life. We're new creatures in Christ. The evidence, like Pastor Steve always says, the evidence is a changed life, the greatest miracle. So his homework assignment is to go over those verses because God wants to get it into your head. He wants you to know just how much he has this in control. Don't fret. Don't worry. True followers of Christ, we're so blessed to be called the sons and daughters of the great I Am, aren't we? According to Ecclesiastes, man can never fully understand all that God is doing. But he reminds us to rejoice and do good in our lifetime. It's Ecclesiastes 3, 11 and 12. So I want you to remember this in these troubled times. Jehovah has promises that he will be our help, and we are not alone. Remember this too. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's who we are. So I know right now I want to conclude. This is early, but I want to conclude here. I'd like to conclude with the following verses, some of which are spoken of earlier. This is Philippians chapter 4. You could turn there. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. So he says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. Let your angry spirit be known to all people. Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer, and my version says, pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I'm going to stop there for a second. When there's a word that we use today, it's called entertainment. And when you break that word down, enter means to go into. Tain is a word that means to reflect. So the mirror had a tin that reflect back. And meant means to take in. So entertainment, when you are, what are you entertaining? You know, I watch a lot of the news. I do that, and I do too much. Or I watch some movies or something like that, and I see something I shouldn't be seeing. And what it's doing, it's coming inside of you. It becomes a part of you, and then you don't even know it, but then next thing you know, you're responding with something that came into you. Entertainment. So what are you entertaining? The Bible, we just read it right now. He was saying, these are the things that we're to entertain. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So this week, when you go about your week, think about it in light of the scripture right here. When you're what you're watching on TV or what you're reading in a book or what conversation you're having with somebody, think about it. Is this part of what God wants for me to be doing or taking part in right now? Seeing with my eyes, entertaining into my brain. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. As for the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So it's early, but you guys are getting a break today. So I'm going to go ahead and have you guys stand up. We're going to worship the Lord, worship